check one. I'm good.
Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? Knowing God loves somebody. He loves you.
Nothing new under the sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the studio along with my big sister, Sheila G. How you doing, Sheila G?
I am blessed and highly favored. Happy birthday, Pastor C.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Along with my good friend and mentor, our biblical expert, Dr. Gregory. How you doing, Dr. Gregory?
I am doing well. How about you?
Thank the Lord for another year.
Amen.
Amen. God has blessed me.
Amen.
Beyond measure, and I just thank him for all the years that he's blessed me with and all the love that everyone showed toward me on today and out through the year to wish me a happy birthday. Truly, it's been a blessing all day long, and I've been excited all day to get into the Word. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to get right into the Word. So we're going to ask everyone to stop for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we thank you again for allowing us to come together one more time. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Mm-hmm. Bless us even now, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and that all this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. We are taking a walk through Bible, dealing with God, dealing with man, and so he dealt with man so that we would know how to deal with each other. And, you know, we just came off of Resurrection Day, and we just wanted everyone to have a clear understanding of how, you know, man got into this mess and how God put a plan into action in order to bring us out of it. And last week we talked about how God had to put a plan into effect to get man back to his original relationship with God. Because in the original relationship with God, man was in a spiritual relationship with God. But when man did not obey the guidelines and boundaries, Sheila G., that God laid down, he lost his spiritual relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was up to God to put a plan into action for man to get back into their relationship. And I know we asked the question last week, you know, why would God, knowing that man was going to mess up, go ahead and allow it to happen anyway? And we came up with the conclusion that God wanted us to love him for who he was, and that he didn't want us to be a robot that's programmed, but he wanted us to love him with our own free will, our own volition, that we would love him because of who he is. And so God reveals himself through his word, through his spirit, so we can know who he is, so we can learn to love him. But that's where we left off of asking that question, because it's confusing. It's like, how can God, you know, he knew we were going to mess up. He knew sin was going to get into the world. Why would he let us do this? Why did they have to do this? And, you know, it plays a big part of, you know, trying to show what actually is the reason behind why he did it. But it has a lot to do with the principalities that he's trying to show, the principalities that he's trying to reveal to us, that are looking at God and looking at God's universe and saying, okay, you know, God, you said that if the man did this, this would happen. And so God had to show him that his infinite wisdom was able to reveal himself to us and to bring us back into that relationship with him. So that's a long process. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times people don't understand it. And I think a lot of times people get confused in bits and pieces. So we're trying to walk through step by step to see, you know, where we were originally with God when he breathed the breath of life, and to the point where we messed up, and then the whole process of him getting us back to that place where we should be. And we look in the second chapter in verse 17, and God gave the boundary. And the boundary was, Genesis 2:16 and 17, the boundary was, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And so that is the boundary that God was giving. That's the boundary that he was setting up. That's the boundary that he is saying, okay, I'm not putting a chip in you, but I'm giving you the ability to pick and choose to love me and to keep my commandments. Sheila G.
That's right. He gave us the choice, because he didn't want us to love him because he said to love him. He wants us to love him because it's a desire that we have to love him and to follow and obey.
So, Pastor G., just to recap, what was the reasoning why we were saying that God wanted to give us the choice to do right or wrong?
Well, we talked about the fact that it wasn't so much to reveal it to God, because he already knew, but to help us understand, as you've said, we do have a choice. And if we choose wrong, there are consequences to pay. But if we choose the right way, we'll be blessed for it. And in that, a lot of times, too, that we must understand that although God doesn't spell out every single tiny thing as to why he does things, some things we have to take through faith.
Right.
That, you know, the Bible teaches that God says, my ways are not
That's
like
right.
your ways.
That's right.
So therefore, you know, God does things in his own way. And there are going to come times when we can't, there is really no use in asking why. But we have to accept it and just kind of go with it.
That's why the Bible says, lean not to your own understanding.
Oh, my goodness. I preached on that last Sunday.
Hello.
But the interesting thing is, okay, he's given us this choice, and we see, based upon what we call the great fall of man,
mm-hmm.
what takes us and puts us under that same cover as Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm talking about once Adam and Eve came and they fell, there's a common cover.
Right.
That all of us have fallen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because out of that one bloodline, what happened when sin entered into the world, the bloodline became tainted.
Right.
And so everybody that came after Adam and Eve had that sin nature mm-hmm. and was spiritually dead.
Right.
Wait a minute. Now everybody's like, hold on. What do you mean? What do you mean I was spiritually dead? Remember when we said when God formed man from the dust of the earth and he breathed into him the what?
The breath of life.
And man became soul.
Mm-hmm.
When God breathed that into him, he became a living soul. God's spirit was also, his spirit was there also.
Right.
And as long as man was in that position of righteousness,
right.
he was mind, he was body and soul.
Mm-hmm.
He had that perfect relationship with God. He
right.
was mind, he was body, and he was soul. He was the spirit man in the proper relationship
right.
with God. But when he disobeyed God, the soul was still alive, but the spirit man died.
Amen.
So what happens was that spirit man is our connection to God.
Right.
Is everybody tracking?
Right. Yes.
In other words, if you don't have your spirit man inside, you don't have a connection with God. In other words, you
mm-hmm.
consider God an enemy.
Right.
Is anybody tracking with me on that?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the part of the triune God that gave you the spirit is now in us, but when we transgress spiritually, we become dead, and that separates us from God. Anytime you're separated from God, you're considered spiritually
dead. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's the key to everyone that came after Adam and Eve, is how to get that spiritual part back into your life, how to
right.
become spiritually alive again. Dr.
Right.
G.
And you know, just like you were saying last week, it's through the spirit that we have a relationship with God.
Right.
And once that spiritual relationship was broken, God had to find another way to reunite it.
Right. And so what's interesting, and I'm jumping miles and days ahead, is that in the Old Testament, the spirit was on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But in the New Testament, he's actually on the inside again.
Mm-hmm.
But that's down the road. That's
right.
down the road. But that's what this whole thing about Christianity, this whole thing about relationship with God, it has to do with the spirit that allows us to have the proper relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Without that, we're incomplete.
Right.
Right.
So what we're looking at is, okay, God gave us a choice. Man was a living soul. He was body, he was spirit, he was soul. And once he transgressed or disobeyed God, now the part that makes him complete is missing.
Amen.
And so God says, I have a desire to have a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm putting a plan into action so I can have that relationship with you, and that you can become spiritually alive again. And that's what this whole thing is about, is that we're not just here as a body and a soul, but we're here to have a relationship with our God. And our relationship with God, whether we want to believe it or not, is going to be based upon whether we accept him as God and by faith believe that he's God. In the Old Testament, Abraham believed and God counted it for him as righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so all through the Bible, it's about believing and obeying God and God counting you righteous. And so now you have that whole relationship with him. And so that's what we're going to try to go through. We're going to try to see what God is really concerned about, the righteous relationship that involves our whole mind, our whole body, and our whole soul. And when it involves our whole mind, our whole body, and soul, and all of that's set aside or sanctified toward God, then we're in the proper relationship. But when we lose that, then we're just walking around as a body and a soul.
That's right.
And we're doing anything and everything.
Right.
We're big and bad enough to do.
Amen.
And so what happens is the enemy of God, Lucifer, when he was kicked out of heaven, he had what was called, we call our problem. He wanted to ascend the throne of God. In other words, he wanted to be the one that was in charge. Even though, Sheila G., he was a covering angel
mm-hmm.
at the mercy seat of God, that he was right next to God.
Amen.
It wasn't enough.
Right.
And so he wanted to take that out, personally out, on God's creation of man. And the Bible talks about, Dr. G., you know, what is man that God considers him?
Amen.
You know, he was made a little lower than the angel.
That's right.
And so the enemy was upset that God had favor and relationship with someone that was made a little lower than this.
All right. All right.
And so what he does, he tried to destroy God's creation, us, because he had problems.
Amen.
Right.
So in other words, he tried to pull down God's creation to get back at God for kicking him out of heaven.
All right.
And the thing that he does to perpetrate on us is to try to do the same thing, get us to do the same thing that he did to get out of the proper relationship with God.
Amen.
He's still doing it generation to generation.
And to turn us into people that all we think about is ourselves.
Mm. Yep.
And so we have our problems.
Amen.
And so if we have our problems, that's going to separate us from God.
Amen.
Right.
So that fast forwards us to Genesis, the third chapter, where we'll pick up this story, this scene, where God's enemy, Lucifer, Satan, was kicked out of heaven, now is trying to get God's creation, man, who's in the Garden of Eden, to transgress and lose his relationship with God.
Right.
What does that old say? Misery loves company.
I was just thinking that.
And so I don't want to go too fast because, you know, we have to set up this whole scene. This whole scene is, you know, Lucifer got in trouble, got kicked out of heaven, and now he's mad at God's creation because man was a living soul and he had a lovely relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
He had dominion over God's earth. And he said, okay, I'm going to perpetrate on them and watch them fall.
Amen.
To create a bunch of mess.
All right.
Right.
And anybody knows that your life without God is a bunch of what?
Talk about it.
Mess.
It's a bunch of mess.
It's impossible.
Your life without the Spirit of God on the inside is a bunch of mess. Because you're doing anything and everything that you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And when we do that, we leave God out.
And we lose the power. We have no power.
And we have no power.
Mm.
And Satan becomes our father.
Amen.
And not God.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Is everybody tracking with that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to the third chapter. This is where it gets good. This is where it gets good. So man has this relationship with God. It's all good. You know? It's all good. Everybody's happy. Man's got his mind. He's got his body. He's got his mind. He's got his soul. He's got his spirit, his body, and his soul. And everything's good.
Hmm.
Having a relationship with God, talking with God, hearing God. And that's one of the things that really, really excites me is that there's going to come a time where we're going to be able to hear God's voice like we're talking now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we hear him spiritually.
Well.
But when we get back to our sanctified
mm-hmm.
body without the presence of sin in it, we'll be able to hear God.
Amen.
Isn't that exciting?
Face to face.
Some people hear God now. It's rare, but some people hear
mm-hmm.
him audibly. Some hear people not audibly. But then when we are back into that relationship with him in our transformed body, we'll be able to hear him again. Isn't that exciting?
That's
very awesome.
Isn't that exciting?
That's awesome.
That's just crazy, man.
Yeah.
I get goosebumps about that. How many of y'all out there in radio land want to hear God?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because he's going to call you by name. I'm getting ready to run out of
Amen.
Here. I'm getting ready to run.
Call you by name.
He's going to call you by name.
That's right.
And it's not going to be your name. It's going to be a new name.
Hello.
Somebody, home of you. Home of you. In other words, you're going to have a new name. Your name is not, it's got a name. And nobody knows it but God.
Amen.
Angels don't even know.
Well.
They're going to know your name. So you know that song, I forget who's singing it. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be exciting. But that's what was lost,
Amen.
You know, in the Garden of Eden, because Satan had an attitude, got his butt on his behind.
All right.
And couldn't be satisfied with being a covering angel right next to God. And so we look at Genesis, the third chapter, and it begins to start telling on this created being. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now here the serpent is being used by Satan to enter into the earthly realm of the human.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And he still has the ability to do that. He's entered into the earthly realm. In other words, he's entered into the earthly realm in the form of a serpent to deceive God's created beings, humans. Is everybody track with that? So we have to be careful because he's still the prince of the power of the air, and he still, Dr. G, can use people and things.
That is true.
Is everybody tracking with me on that?
Amen.
Everybody is not what they cracked up to be.
Amen.
There's still folks being used by the enemy. There's still things that are being used by the enemy. He still has the ability to control certain things like weather events around the world.
All right.
And so we have to be mindful of that. To know that he still has power. He doesn't have all power, but he has power.
Mm-hmm.
And so here in the garden, when Adam and Eve, where they live, where they dwell, where they had dominion, here he comes slipping up to the woman.
And ask the question. That's how he set her up.
Set up.
Yes, the question.
Right.
He didn't tell her. If she had just directly said something, she probably would have gotten an attitude.
Right.
So he asked the question.
And so subtle means
hello.
Now you know, all of us know that we're not gonna go after anything that's not attracted to us. And so he comes in smooth and he says to the woman in verse 2, he says, and said unto the after he asked her that question. He responds back to the woman in verse 2 and says, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. In verse 3 it says, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now she didn't get the whole story right.
Amen.
Because if we go fast reverse back to chapter 2 verse 17, God said, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So she added in there, touch it, lest she die.
Well, you know, we as women always like to add a little something.
Women like to talk a little bit.
Say it.
Women like to talk a little bit. Women like to talk a little bit.
She just embellished.
Well, you know, psychiatrists have studied the female and the male, and generally females need about 1,500 words more words to get rid of a day.
Amen.
There's a certain amount of words that men use.
That's because the males don't listen.
I wonder why.
Because they can't get a word in edgewise. I'm gonna leave it alone. but there's a certain amount of words, more words that women have to get out that men don't have to get out. And so here, you know, Satan's approaching the woman who is considered the weaker vessel.
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted.
Shape.
And Dr. G, he's still using that same tactic today.
Same old stuff.
And the same tactic is, if I can get the men out of following God,
right.
I'm good.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm good. And he uses the same thing. He says, I'll go to the women. And I'll get the men out of the picture and get the whole thing twisted. So, you know, you look at verse 4, and this is critical. It's whether you're going to believe God.
Amen.
Or you're going to believe the enemy.
All right.
Are you going to believe God or are you going to believe the enemy? And this is the choice that all of us have. When God gave us that Genesis 2:16-17, it's, are we going to believe God or are we going to believe the enemy? And we have to make that choice every day.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We gonna do it God's way, or we gonna do it the enemy's way.
Right.
But you know, Doc, we all must remember though, and you're right. Either we're gonna do it God's way or the enemy's way. But we must keep in mind that, as you said, Satan was smooth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I tell folk all the time that little cartoon figure that we see of him being that little red figure with the pointed ears and the little pointed tail running around with a pitchfork, throw that stuff out the window.
Right.
Boyfriend can hook it.
Right.
He can be whatever he has to be.
Mm-hmm.
Smooth talking.
Yep.
Smooth dressing.
Good looking.
Looking.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows how to play it.
Yeah.
Right.
Sheila G?
Yes, I agree. And sometimes he can use, like, your car won't work.
Mm-hmm.
So they And you know you have to get to work or you have to be a certain place at a certain time. And he knows that if he gets you focused on that car or mm-hmm. the situation, that thing is not working, then your focus will be off God. So
right.
he'll use things, he'll use people, he'll use whatever the situation is to
mm-hmm.
get your focus off.
Right.
Because, once again, as I said, he likes to play on our emotions.
Right, right. And so here, the problem is not the temptation.
Hmm.
Because all of us get tempted.
Amen.
It's the response to the temptation.
Correct.
Is everybody trying to win? It's not the problem is not being tempted. You can be tempted all day and look and mm-hmm. see and be tempted, but the problem is when we respond to that or
exactly.
act upon that
mm-hmm.
temptation, that's where the sin comes in, and that breaks our relationship with God because we've chosen the enemy over God.
Right.
And so when you choose the enemy over God, that separates, that breaks your relationship with God. That breaks your fellowship with God. And so in order for us to continue to have continued fellowship and relationship with God, we got to get into the Word of God, find out what the Word says, by faith, be obedient to what the Word says. And then when you're walking in that faith, what happens is your relationship with God becomes stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the choice. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now, basically what Satan is doing is calling God a liar.
Amen.
He's calling God a liar.
And you know he said it with an attitude. He didn't say it like that.
Right.
He said, you should not surely die. Really?
Right. And so that's the attitude we have to. We have to have that same indignation to say, how dare you call my God a liar? How dare you call my God a liar? How dare you talk about the one that's been good to me?
Mm-hmm.
Lord, good. I'm getting ready to run around again. So if God's been good to you, why are we going to lie? Why are we going to accept the enemy calling him a lie?
Mm-mm.
Are we going to take up for our God?
Right.
Mm.
Not that he needs us to take up for him. But are we going to take up for him? Are we going to say, hey, you're a liar. I love the story about David and the Philistine. He said,
mm-hmm.
who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's coming up against God's people?
All right.
In other words, how dare you come up against God's people?
Mm-hmm.
Did it when he was tempted. He was like, well, it is written.
Yes.
So he had just as much attitude, and he was like starving.
Right.
About
it is written.
You
should live by,
like,
you know.
It is written.
But every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Every time Satan came at him, he threw scripture. Right
and we have to get that bold and indignant with the enemy when he tries to tell us that, you know, we should do it contrary to what God said.
Mm-hmm.
Even in our weakness.
And so here comes the lie, and he always got a smooth lie in verse 5. How many of y'all know people got smooth lies? Folks got some smooth lies, man. And keep a straight face.
Oh, yeah.
Like they're telling the truth. And some of them, when they start lying, they say the first thing they say is,
I'm
lie.
I'm not going to lie, but.
They got a smooth, and they keep their face straight,
mm-hmm.
and the face is straight, and they not even blinking, not even cracking a smile, and it's almost like they're telling the truth.
Amen.
And this is the smooth lie. He's the father of lies.
Hello.
This, the Bible says he's the father of lies, and so every lie is patterned after Satan.
Amen.
Just think about how many times we done lied, Saint.
Well. Help me, Lord. Might as well just be honest. Amen. Amen.
Amen. But he's the father. He's the father of all lies.
Uh-huh.
And that's his way. That's his MO. That's his modus operandi. That's the way he does it. He'll come in and he'll tell you the lie, and then he's gonna tell you why you should believe the lie.
Come on,
then
that
right.
sound like a old boyfriend or girlfriend.
Well.
Yeah,
they flip the script.
Yeah,
anybody ever dealt with an old boyfriend or girlfriend?
Oh,
flip the script and have you thinking that you wrong?
Uh huh.
You're like, wait a minute, hold on a second. How are you going to flip the script?
Come on.
And then they put that thing, well, you know it was me. You know, it's not you, it's me.
Yeah, okay. Anyway,
that's
Earth
another. Got too little emotional there. Everybody get a little emotional. Going back down memory lane. But here he is in verse 5. In verse 5, he says, "For God doth know that in the day you eat there, then your eyes will be open, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil." Ooh. In other words, God lied to you because he don't want you to be like him.
But now let me throw something in there, because if you think about it, verse 5 is really the truth.
Yeah.
But he started off with the lie in verse 4.
Exactly.
But then he come back, for God does know
mm-hmm.
that in the day that you eat of it,
yeah.
your eyes shall be open.
That's right.
And you shall be, he doesn't put a capital G.
Right. Little G. That's
knowing
right.
good and evil.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
So that part was really the truth.
Right. You become your own little God.
Right. But if you notice, he starts off with the lie
mm-hmm.
and then come back
mm-hmm.
and fills the little part in to make it appear.
And that's the way he does.
That's the way he works it.
Twist it up.
Does appeal to that ego.
Oh, yeah. And see, that's the question. Why would God, he know he created us like this.
Mm-hmm.
He knew he created little G's and Sheila G's and Pastor C and Dr. G. He knew he created us like that.
Yeah, them emotional people. Especially them females.
Get in front of the mirror and
come on. With the little hair. Yeah.
Think we're all that in the bag of
things. Oh my goodness.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And so here is the dilemma. Here's the dilemma. The dilemma is you got the choice to believe the lie.
All right.
It's out there.
It's out there.
Do you want to believe the lie?
Amen.
Right.
And see what the Bible It really tells us that the outward nation can't do anything from us.
Right.
It's what comes out of us.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's the scary part.
Amen.
It's like what comes out of us, what's in us that prompts us to believe the lie? And well, don't believe the hype.
Uh-huh.
Right.
How in the world are we gonna have this thing inside of us and say, I'm going to believe the hype?
Hello.
And I'm going to go out there because I want to be God. I want to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
I want that power. And the thing that gets us are these three things. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things are not of God.
Right.
That's right.
But see, what the devil did, he didn't go into any more detail to explain to them that when your eyes are open,
mm-hmm.
and what it means to know the difference between
good and evil.
He just made it real vague and left it. Now, girlfriend had already started it, you know, well, if we touch it.
And the thing that's interesting, if we look at 1 John, the second chapter, in verse 16, the same stuff that's was causing them problems back then. That's why we say T-nuts is nothing new on this sun. Mm-hmm. Is the same stuff that's causing us problems today.
Okay.
Yeah.
1 John,
Amen.
Second chapter, verse 16. Same old stuff. Ain't nothing new on this sun.
Mm-hmm.
It says, for all that is in the world,
mm-hmm.
right? It's the lust of the what?
Flesh.
The lust of the what?
Eyes.
And the what?
Pride of life.
And it says, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Our own little G. This is what kills us.
Come on.
When we fall to that eye, how many of y'all fall into the eye? God didn't make no junk out there.
No.
He didn't make no junk
out
there.
No.
Amen.
We all did.
Amen. The eye. And then when you combine that with the flesh,
come on,
you think you're doing something?
Hello.
you think you're doing something? You got the eye, you got the flesh, and then when you think you're doing something, now you're prideful, like I'm the man.
That ego.
Or I'm the woman.
That ego up here.
But you know, it could be even something as simple as overeating.
Yeah.
You know you're full.
Yeah.
But because you see. But they used to say your eyes are too big for your stomach.
Eyes are bigger than your gluttony.
Gluttony, which
right.
is
and so those are the three things they're going to get us. If it looks good, it's got our attention.
Come
if
on.
It feels good, it's got
Uh-oh.
Our attention.
Uh-huh.
If it's going to pump out and stroke
that
our
ego,
it's going to get our attention.
Yes. Yes.
Those are the things that get us in trouble every day.
Every
Nothing
day.
New under the sun.
Yeah.
Get you in trouble. It got them in trouble in the beginning, and it's still getting us in
trouble.
And so Satan, he's like a pimp. He said, I know what to do. So he jack slaps us. He pimp slaps us. He pimp slaps us with temptation. Like that.
And then people want to say, oh, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't.
That stuff
no.
came from
no.
Mr. Adjun.
No, he didn't. He put it out there. You had a choice not to do it.
Lord have mercy. That's crazy, isn't it?
Amen.
That is just crazy. But those are the three things. So when we look at, go back to Genesis real quick. If you go back to Genesis 6. He gets her with those three things.
Here we go.
He gets her with the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life.
Right.
He gets her with those three things. He get them back then. He going to get us. Let's see the setup. Y'all ready for the setup?
Here we go.
Here goes the setup. Genesis 3, 6. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food.
Mm.
In other words, that appealed to her physical body, the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
It was good.
Yeah.
All right? How many of us fall when it's good?
Amen.
All of
but how many know that everything that's good
ain't good
for you?
It's not good for you.
And I hear folks testifying, all over the place. Everything that's good ain't good for you.
That's true.
Amen. Anybody ever got a hold of some alcohol that made you feel good?
Yeah, it wasn't good for you.
But it, but later on in
that
the
next day,
the next day
you come down off of
the next day.
That's it. Don't feel good then.
Not a good feeling.
And eventually it catches up to
you.
Catch up with you.
Come on.
Hey, you lying to God?
Amen.
I'll never do it again.
I'll
never do it again, God.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I just want to move. I'm not going to do it.
Right.
See, what's
make
worse,
the room stop moving.
When you're sitting there in the bathroom and your mother is yang, 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 and you're sitting here throwing up. Hello.
Oh, my goodness.
Not good for you.
Oh, my goodness.
It's good.
Right. But it wasn't good for
you. It
wasn't good for you.
And lying, all them lies we done told God.
Come
Lord have mercy. But here, it applies. It was good food.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gonna hit it with the eye. What?
Pleasant
to the eye.
Pleasant to the eye.
You know, some folks got that saying, it's easy on the eye.
Well,
how many of y'all ever got involved with somebody that was easy on the eye?
Come on.
It wasn't good for you.
Tell it. Yeah.
Somebody was easy on the eye.
Yeah.
But wasn't good for you.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't good for you.
I know. Put us all on blast.
Everybody. Easy on the eye. Easy on the eyes isn't always good for you.
That's right.
But you know that God didn't make no junk.
Right.
And the enemy said, I know what you like. And see, even now when you're saved and you got the Spirit of God on the inside, the enemy know what you like.
Right. So you got to pray.
He know what you like.
Uh-huh.
Gotcha. I know what you like.
Uh-huh.
And if you ain't prayed up, you're going to break your neck.
Amen.
turn around and
Come
walk
on.
Away from the temptation.
Who was the fella that had to run out of his clothes? In the had to run out of his clothes. He was messing with Potiphar's wife.
Uh-huh. Joseph
had to run out of his clothes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She was messing with him.
He was messing with him.
He was messing with her.
Right, but this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You got to run out. Because if he would have stayed there too long, Potiphar's wife might have started looking good.
Right.
So
she was
he had
with
to,
him, and he had to run out of his clothes
he
to,
had
get away
to, run
from
out.
To get away from her.
You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
So it's not always the guy.
So
happens on both sides.
So here he's got her with the lust of the eye, the, I mean, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and now he's going to go through the pride. How many know that pride has hurt us and kept us from so many blessings?
Yes. Yes.
Pride.
Yes.
We got foolish pride.
Yes. Huh.
No, we wrong.
Yeah. Right.
But my pride won't let me say.
Well.
My pride won't let me apologize.
Come
right.
on.
My
come
pride
on.
Won't let me look at it the other way.
Amen.
Right. I'm a man. I'm a woman. And pride.
Yep.
So, here it is, the final setup. This is like when you ever seen the world, the fake wrestling?
Yeah.
Where the guy getting get pinned.
Yeah.
And they kind of one,
I
two,
wrestle alone,
three.
Yeah. Leave me wrestle alone.
And this is the pin. This is the pin. This is down one with the eye. You down two with the flesh.
Uh-huh.
And here comes three.
The pride of life.
So it says, it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the third one, the pride of life. And here it is. Why it's so difficult for men and women to dwell together in unity.
Hello.
Is because most of the time, the man is not taking responsibility.
Preach it.
Go ahead.
Preach
it.
Preach it.
Most of the time, the man is not taking. But again, we're talking about nothing new under the sun.
Uh-huh.
So the man was supposed to step in here.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yes.
Sitting there chilling. You got a question in the studio audience.
I don't think Adam really heard the serpent. I think the serpent was talking to Eve directly.
Well, we're going to finish reading that verse.
Verse 6.
Let's finish reading that verse.
Verse 6.
He was.
You're right.
Let's look at verse 6. Let's finish verse 6. So in verse 6 it says, she took of the fruit thereof, right? And did what?
Eat.
Right?
She ate it.
And gave also unto her husband
with her.
That's what he was doing. Okay, Brandon, you asked a question. What was he doing?
Eat.
That's what he was doing. He was sitting right there.
Yes.
She ate first and gave it the boyfriend.
Let's read it again.
It says, she took of the fruit thereof. Now remember, God told him, don't eat it.
Uh-huh.
He said, don't eat it. We got a good spiritual relationship with God. But here, he told her a lie. It looked good. It felt good. We're going to make her wise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So here it says, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat.
With her, meaning he was right there.
Well,
here then. So here's the dilemma that we have. The dilemma is Adam should have, because he's the one that got the instruction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And because he got the instruction, he had the responsibility.
Correct.
And the authority.
Right.
And the power.
Right.
To be able to shut it down.
Yeah.
Nope. He could have said, baby, this is what God says. But if you eat that,
you're gonna die. Right.
You on your own.
Right. Question. We've got a question in the audience.
Quick question. If, say, Adam had accorded right when she ate it, would that have been too late?
Yeah.
So,
before.
But if he caught, say she ate it, she offered it to him, he was like, nah, don't, you know, that
she
in God's
died.
Mind,
she
that would have been
she,
done.
She would have died. And he would have had
another,
another rib.
Bam. Okay.
Try it again.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
And the thing is, God, he gave the instruction to the man because the woman was not pulled out of the man yet.
Right. At that time.
Fruit. It's fruit.
Say it.
It's fruit.
It says fruit.
It's fruit.
Yeah.
It's fruit.
Don't know what kind of fruit.
It's fruit.
See, that's how the enemy mess you up.
Right, that's how
the enemy
mess
you up. Right. It's fruit.
Yeah, the Bible.
But see, over the years, that's what
fruit.
They painted this mm-hmm. picture, that it was an apple. Right.
So what we have to do is that's why we always gotta make sure we stick to what the word says.
Right.
And Lord have mercy on the. The 20th translation of the Bible, probably says, you know, whatever. That's why I always try to get close to the original transcript.
Mm-hmm.
But here, again, those are the three things that cause man to die spiritually. When you're spiritually dead, you're separated from God.
Mm-hmm.
But the point being that he had dominion over her. So as the head of the house and the dominion, he should have said, if you eat that, you're going to die.
Right.
And at that point, she may have actually listened to him because it would have been a choice of listening to her husband, who she saw, and the serpent.
Right. Who was telling her,
right.
God was telling her.
Right. He didn't
the husband was telling her about
serpent.
God. Right.
If he would have contradicted the serpent, then she possibly could have said, okay, do I listen to my husband or this little ugly thing on her? Well, he wasn't on the ground yet. But
right. He wasn't on the ground.
He wasn't on the ground.
And he was looking good.
But he wasn't her husband.
Right.
Well, evidently, it must have been looking real
good.
We got
a question. We got another question. Another question.
Serpent. He was just sitting there watching her talk to the serpent.
Well, see, we don't know to what extent
but
how close.
Right.
Any of
tell
that.
You what happened.
But nah, Sister G.
As a wife, there are plenty of times when we talk to our spouse and they're not listening.
Hold on a second. Now what we have to do, what we're looking at here is we're looking at the character and makeup of the man,
mm-hmm.
the character
yeah.
and the makeup of the woman.
Amen.
The character and makeup of the man is he likes to shuck his responsibility.
Amen.
The makeup of the woman is like she likes to overstep her bounds.
Hello.
That's what was,
in her lane plus some.
That's what.
Uh-huh.
Calm down.
Amen.
That's the makeup of man and makeup of the woman. The makeup of the man is I'm not gonna do it.
Mm-mm.
But if he ain't gonna do it,
I'm gonna do it.
Amen.
Right.
So she's
right
taking authority in position, trying to do what she shouldn't do.
That's
so the man shucks his responsibility, and the woman gets tired of waiting on him. And so she's going to do it, even though she is not made to do it. Man was made to be able to be the head.
And that's why Satan went to the woman.
Exactly.
He knew that.
Because he knew the makeup of the man and the makeup of the woman.
Exactly. And so when you know the makeup of the man, his tendency is, well, go ahead and let her do it. The tendency of the woman is, he ain't going to do it, so I might as well do it.
Take care of myself. It's good, bad, or indifferent.
Exactly.
And two wrongs don't make a right.
That's right.
And that's why now what we try to do is to correct that whole thing in counseling is showing the man his role
right.
and showing the woman her
mm-hmm.
role.
Correct.
Because
mm-hmm.
until we understand what's supposed to be done, one, irregardless of whether or not that man is doing, he's still the head.
Right.
That's it.
And I understand that, ladies, you get tired of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
So y'all can go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get in trouble.
Amen.
We got to get some of these folks online on the radio.
So once they ate of the fruit,
mm-hmm.
once they ate of the fruit, And sin entered into the world. So is that where nagging comes in? Is
that
where
all
It's a part of sin. But let's see if we can get some. We're gonna see if we
No, it goes back to what he said that if that characteristic of shucking responsibility did not come in, there would be no nagging.
Amen. All
right, we're gonna get someone on radio. We're gonna see if we can get 1741. 1741, you with us?
Yes, I'm Pastor Kayson. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Hey, we were looking at this whole thing of how the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life affects Adam and Eve, and how Satan uses that. And we just wanted to ask the question: do you still see the same makeup of the man and the woman back in the garden as the same makeup of man and woman today?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. I think it's just something in man. I don't know whether it's his rebellion against God. He just refused to accept the responsibility that God has given him. But it is man's responsibility, and God did give that commandment to Adam. Mm-hmm. And I do believe if Adam had stood up and, you know, voiced his opinion,
right,
it would have made a difference in the situation. At least he would have known what he was thinking and what he felt, as
right,
opposed to just going along with her.
Right.
Right.
And thank you, Minister Lindsay. We try to get someone else. Dr. G, what Minister Lindsay said was that if the man would have stepped up and spoken, that it would have made a difference.
Amen.
Yes.
That is profound.
Yes.
That is profound.
Yes, mm-hmm. Because there's been someone other than the serpent coming at her. You know, sometimes when another person speaks to you, sometimes that does wake you up.
Yeah.
When you're in the midst of something or when you're doing something and someone else speaks to you about it, it makes you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you think about it, you're like, oh, let me back off.
And it's not just saying something, but it's saying what God says.
Correct.
And yeah, so when the man steps up, Dr. G, and says what God says,
mm-hmm,
just like back then, it would have made a difference. Just like in our households today,
right,
if the man would not only say it, but live it.
Amen.
Right.
See, you can say a lot of things,
amen,
but if you're not living it,
that's true,
then we're like, talk to the hand.
Amen.
But if he's living it, and then he says it, then that makes the difference,
mm-hmm,
in the household.
Amen.
And there's two things. If he said it, that's just like when Jesus said, when Satan was coming at him, and he said, it is written.
Yes.
If Adam had said, God said, the serpent would have had to go away. Because
right,
word that comes about God, that's one way to run.
Right.
The devil away.
Right.
So two things. One, she would have had to listen, and two, the serpent would have had to back off.
Right.
Because he's speaking God.
He's speaking God. He's speaking the word. Got a question in the audience.
I was thinking, I'm not going to say I, you know.
So really, it's not all Adam's fault, is what we're saying. Pastor Gregory, it's not all Adam's fault. It's dual responsibility. She had a responsibility. She didn't do it. Adam. So in a sense, they're both at fault, correct?
Well, this is the way God sees it.
Tell me how God sees it.
God sees it that everybody's got to give an account
exactly
for their own actions. For their own actions.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the way God
sees it. So it's not just all Adam's fault, or in this case, the man's fault.
Excuse me.
Eve was the weakest one, right?
Amen.
Okay.
Both of them transgressed against God.
Amen.
Exactly. At the end of the day, that's
right.
Okay. So they both, okay.
Right.
Okay.
You're not going to answer for my stuff, and
I'm not going to answer for your stuff. Exactly.
Right.
Okay.
And see, and the thing is, we can point the finger, and I mean, you know, we have fun with this thing, but you've got to really take a look at it, how it all got all out of whack.
Right.
Yes, if the man would have stood up and spoke as God said. But it showed us that even back then, whatever he was doing,
mm-hmm.
he wasn't doing what God wanted him to do.
Right.
Fast forward to where we are today.
Uh-oh.
Same thing.
Yeah. Not
so
doing what
he
wants.
The man is not doing what he ought to be doing. The woman steps up to the plate, takes the ball, and run with it.
Right.
So now you got two people and two things out of whack.
Out of order.
So then where does it come down? Here come God.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the rebirth and all of that comes in. But, I mean, we poke fun, we play.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, yes, the woman was the weaker vessel, but the man wasn't doing his part.
Right. Got another question.
All joking aside, I still say it was primarily Adam because while the serpent was talking to Eve and he's sitting there saying nothing and just letting it go on, she's standing there probably saying, why ain't Adam saying anything? That's throwing doubt in her mind. Then the devil is, like, leaning on her. All he had to do was speak up. She would have listened to him. And that even today means a woman will be out of her mind if a man who loves God
That's right.
and loves her according
That's
to
right.
his love for God,
That's right.
she got no problem.
That's right.
No problem letting him be the head of that household.
That's right. That's right.
A woman will submit to a man who's treating her right. A woman will. No, I'm not saying should. I'm telling you as a woman will.
That's right.
We will. So if you want a queen, treat her like a queen, and you will be our king. And if Adam had said one thing, Eve would have turned around and listened to him.
That is true. However, Eve does have responsibility to do the right thing.
Amen.
You know, we always tell our women that you want to get a Christian. Yes, she did.
Yes, she did. She knew.
She knew.
She knew.
He told them both.
She knew. She knew.
She knew. She knew.
Because she said it to the serpent.
But she said it to the serpent, remember? She said when the serpent asked her the question, she said to the serpent, well, yeah, God said that if we eat or touch it, we die. She allowed the serpent to convince her otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam did nothing. And Adam did nothing
to stop it. Exactly.
Right.
Because it was Adam's responsibility to pass the word on to his wife.
Right.
Is there right track with that?
Right.
Amen.
It was Adam's responsibility to pass the word on to his wife.
Correct.
So she knew the word.
She knew the word.
But she knew the word.
She knew the word.
She knew.
Hold up. Let's do it one at a time. Let's do it one at a time. Let's do it one at a time.
Yeah.
Go back to verse 3.
Let's do it one at a time. What we established in verse 3 was that she knew the word.
Amen.
Yeah.
You go back to verse 3.
Read it.
It says, she said, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, we shall not eat of it. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
So she knew. God
so she said
don't
that to the
it.
Serpent.
She
so
knew.
Adam got the word. Let's go back to Genesis 2:16, it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So the man got the instruction, the responsibility, and the authority before the woman. Because if you look down in verse 18, it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet
mm-hmm.
for him.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, the woman wasn't around yet. She wasn't around. Because it was the man, again, God gave it to the man, so it was his responsibility and authority to be able to tell his family what God said. Same thing today.
Which he
it's
did.
The man,
which
it's
he
the
did.
Man.
Which he did.
He did
tell
her.
That's
right.
How she knew. Right.
So.
Go ahead, fix it up.
Go back to in verse 18, chapter 2. Now, she came along to assist him. to be
right.
a helpmeet,
right.
not to exert authority over him. And see, right there in the other verse, you're saying that because God didn't tell her, that's not the way God works it. God tells the man, we are to tell our women, and they are supposed to obey. In this verse, it did not happen. She knew the word,
she did.
But she did not obey it. So we can paint a pretty picture in any kind of way we want. You got to go by what's in that word.
They were both wrong.
Both of them were wrong.
Again, everybody going to stand for their own transgression.
Amen.
And God's going to deal with each one of them, the serpent. He's going to deal with
right.
the woman, and he's going to deal with the man individually.
Which he did.
And that's how he's going to deal with all of us
that's
individually.
Right. Exactly.
So we can't go to God and say,
he told
that woman that you gave me, and we're going to get into that next week.
Come on.
That woman you gave me, and God's like, man, that ain't working, buddy.
Uh-uh.
You can't
right.
do it either way.
But we're out of time. Lord mercy. Time.
We got
one question in them. Lord mercy. I'll make a song
the whole thing, this Adam thing, what I got from it was that I didn't think that Adam really heard the conversation between them two because the devil was manipulating the serpent. So he could manipulate the serpent so that Eve could be the only one to hear him. And then the other thing I was thinking was that maybe Adam was punished too simply because Adam was put in charge. So maybe it was like a test that Adam, you should have been questioning.
Oh, he got punished.
Oh, he got punished.
Like Adam...
Right. Because he didn't do his part.
But what I want to take you back to is chapter 3, verse 6.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the verse, it says that he was with her.
Right there.
So he was with her.
I know he was with her, but how do we know that he really heard what was going on?
You're talking about that baby on Family Guy. We can hear the baby, but can't nobody on the show.
Right. But the thing is, when the Bible says he was with her, that means that he was with her. He was there.
He was present.
But you didn't hear what the
because,
said.
Because if you go down to the next verse, or go back up in the verse, it says she gave also unto him. Go back up in the
gave
verse.
It to him.
She gave it to him.
And
so even if he didn't hear it, he should have said,
I'm going to read verse 6 all over again. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and
mm-hmm.
that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband.
With her.
So he had to be there if she gave him the fruit. You understand what I'm saying? Is everybody trying
right.
with me?
Mm-hmm. Right.
In other words, she couldn't have gave it to him to eat it if he wasn't there.
And even if she hadn't heard the serpent, the fact that she ate it while he was there or was trying to give it to him, even if he didn't hear what the serpent said to her, he knew that was wrong.
Right. But see, he was going along with the program.
Right.
And that's the picture that we want you to understand. It doesn't matter who had more responsibility to do this, that, and the
right.
other. All three of them played a part.
Right.
And now we're
what you look
it.
At, you look at the big picture of how each one played their part.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we get to it next week, you're going to see how each one had to get punished for it.
Right. Yeah. But the key is, that's where we lost our spiritual relationship
right.
with
right.
God. And we look at that. And that's where this whole life plan that
right.
God put into action to get us that spirit back so we can be in the right relationship with God.
Right.
But, man, our time went by fast.
Mm.
We thank God for the word. And it's good to get into it like this because you get an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times you can't ask questions or interact. And we're going to get some more folk on the phone next week also.
Amen.
But it's And folks in the audience are saying they want y'all to come in. They want y'all to come into the studio. So if you can make
this thing getting good. The emotions.
All right. And they got the women on one side and the fellas on the other side.
We need some backup.
Oh, there, mercy. Fellas, we need some backup. All right. All right. We're going to ask... Pastor G to close us out
Amen.
In prayer.
Can we settle down now? Gracious God, our Father, we come to another close, O Lord. We thank you for the discussion. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to get into your word. Father, we pray that after we've looked at this thing and we've gone back and forth, Lord, irregardless of who did what, they all messed up.
Yes.
And Lord, that's the key right there.
Yes.
Through disobedience. And Father, we pray right now that we continue to understand that through our obedience, fast forward all the way up to the 21st century.
Yes.
The Lord, we're still making the same mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But Father, we thank you for Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you that through him and through his death, through his blood, through his resurrection, we too can get back to the right relationship.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for what we've learned tonight. We thank you for those that have come out. We thank you for those that have called in. And Lord, we pray now that you would allow us to continue to be thirsty and hungry for this word, that we might have be eager to learn more and to discuss it. Father, we pray right now that as we depart from this place, that you would grant us traveling mercies. And whatever your will is on tomorrow, my Father, we pray that you would allow us to deal with them accordingly. Again, O Lord, we thank you for another year for Pastor C. We ask that you would guide him and continue to guide him along this journey. Father, we thank you for Sheila Jen. We thank you for all that have come out.
Yes.
Now, Lord, we ask these and all of the blessings and favors in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good night. Amen.
I'm
I know, we're good. We're good. We're good.